Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. We have a great program for you today on Connections. Sue Graves, she's the Safety Coordinator for the Lincoln County School District, and we are going to learn a lot from her. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
Before we get started, though, I want to remind you a few things. We are beginning to head into county budget meetings, and I want you to know when those dates are. So you can come and provide your input if you're in the mood to do that. So, to get us started, tomorrow evening at the Lincoln County Courthouse will be the first of our budget meetings, and that's in room 110. So please come if you want to. That begins at 6 p.m. Also on Thursday, we'll be heading down to, or heading up to Lincoln City, I'm sorry, at 6 p.m. At Lincoln City Hall. That's room 801. Also on Monday, we will be going to Yahats, and we'll be at the Yahats City Commons Room, and that's at 6 p.m. as well. So if you're interested in examining the proposed budget, that is online. You can download that. Of course, you could come to the Board of Commissioners' office as well and look at a hard copy of that. But online on the county homepage, there's a link to the proposed budget there for you. Also, a budget media release, some preliminary information on the outlook of things there. Going into tomorrow morning, we have our regular Board of Commissioners meeting. Some interesting recognitions and proclamations tomorrow. National Nurses Week. We'll also be talking about Bike to Work Month. And Oregon Coast Community College will be talking about a Student Nurse Day. So we've just got lots of meetings coming your way. And remember, those are all going to be archived and viewable online, usually within about a working day of the filming. Now, what's going to happen to me is this stuff is going to just pile up, so I'm going to get it out as fast as I possibly can, so bear with me if it takes just a little bit longer in this case with the budget meetings to get that stuff online, but I'll do it as soon as I possibly can for you to view anytime you want to, and it usually requires a broadband internet connection. So that's a look at our meetings coming up, and, well, let's talk to Sue. Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How about you, Casey?
Well, I'm doing really good. It's great to have you on the program because, you know, as the public information officer, you and I cross paths at different meetings, and whenever you talk about things, you always have it together, and to me are a great example of what emergency preparation should be. And just this morning, talking, you're in your 10-year anniversary.
Yes, that's right. Last month, had my 10 years with the school district as the safety coordinator.
Wow.
Very cool.
Well, no wonder you're so dialed in. You're a pro. You had been talking about this for you started as a really a drug communities type grant.
Drug prevention.
Can you talk about how you found yourself in the position?
Yep. About 10 years ago, the school district received a grant to hire 4 people to do drug prevention and violence prevention safety in the schools, one for each area of the school district. And so I applied and received one of those positions. Mm-hmm. And that was a great starting point to be looking at the issues that we face as a county and in our schools. And so when that grant was done, they decided to keep me on as the full-time safety coordinator for the school district. And so it's just been a real neat journey over the 10 years. Sometimes I've been on grants, sometimes I haven't, but the school district has just been committed to safety and to the safety of its students and staff. So they've been able to continue this position over this time.
A lot of our conversation, I think, today is going to talk about emergency preparation, natural disaster type stuff. Can you talk about how you went from the position then and how it's evolved now? I mean, because what you're saying to me is safety for the school district is pretty wide.
I mean,
you guys
have
a lot of things you cover.
Yeah, yeah. And so when we started with the drug prevention and violence prevention, during that period, we learned, we really need to have a broad emergency plan for the school district that covers all kinds of hazards, not just drug hazards and violence, but other things like earthquakes, tsunamis, that kind of thing. So at that time, we started developing a comprehensive emergency plan. And over this 10 years, we've been getting better and improving in each of the different areas, whether it's you know, a fire or earthquake or a weapons-related thing mm-hmm. or severe weather, electrical outages. You know, there's just so many different things
yeah.
that could happen anywhere. And so we're, you know, just getting better and better at being prepared at each of the different things. We just finished making a series of 25 short training videos on all different subjects on our emergency plan. Yeah, you can imagine all the different subjects that are in an emergency plan. And so there's 25 different ones. And so now we have a short staff training video to go with each of our written procedures. Huh. And a couple
wow.
of those are even on the website for parents to view.
You've got the tsunami preparation or tsunami procedure and earthquake procedure online
yep.
now.
Uh-huh. And then there's one for families called Family Reunification. And there's a short video there for families to watch so that if there was an emergency at school and we couldn't reunite families with their school there with their children at that school, we might have to take them somewhere else. Then how do we do that? How do we make that family reunification? That video talks about it.
Your history, as you had mentioned, in human resources,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that ends up kind of complementing in ways the work you do.
I think so. Yeah. I have a business degree in organizational management and mm-hmm. went from that to be a human resource manager and then from there to the school district here. So, I think it all ties together.
Now, do you have somebody that helps you through all this?
Oh, I have a wonderful husband, if that's what you mean. Yes, Kevin. Yeah, we've been married 26 years, and he's the love of my life. And, he definitely supports me. He's like my big fan and, really encourages me.
Now, is he kind of a survival guy?
A survival guy. You know, I wouldn't call him a big-time survival guy, but he definitely supports what I do and what I believe in and what I teach. So, yeah.
That's nice, huh?
Yeah.
And at the school, do you have somebody that you work with, like an assistant?
Yep, I have an assistant, Gary, who's really helping me out a lot this year. And I don't always have an assistant. It kind of depends on the grant that I have at the
mm-hmm.
time. But, yeah, mm-hmm. very thankful to have his help.
And you end up doing a lot of grant writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of time and skill. Do you find that they're always they're successful at that? I mean,
yeah,
what's the ratio?
Yeah, you know, grant writing is tricky. You know, each of the different organizations that you write for to receive free money, you know,
mm-hmm.
they all have different requirements. So, grant writing is very technical. You have to really figure out what the grantor is asking for. And so a lot of our grants that we've gotten have come from the U.S. Department of Education, some from the Department of Justice. And I've actually been able to be a grant reader, is what they call it, when you score grants for other school districts that are applying. And so that has helped me fine-tune my skills as a grant writer significantly.
When we had an exercise last year, you had part of the film crew.
Oh, yeah.
In covering that with, there was kind of a joint exercise with
yeah.
the Lincoln County or Pacific Samaritan. And so those are part of the crew, right, that are working on a lot of these videos that you have coming
yeah.
out?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep, it's a company that we hired to help us produce those 25 videos. And that one particular, that exercise you're talking about, was a hazardous material spill, which is another one of our procedures because that can
right.
happen in our schools. It can happen in the community where we might have to do a shelter-in-place procedure to protect us from the contaminants, or we might have to evacuate, that kind of thing. So, yeah, the film crew was there. They were using some of that footage for the videos that we were producing.
You guys are just so committed. And the reason that I asked you, who helps you? Because you have so much to do.
Oh, you know, I can't tell you how many people help me. We partner with all the police agencies in the county, all the fire agencies in the county, the hospitals, the ambulance, I mean, all kinds of agencies, the Red Cross. And they have helped us so much in developing all of our plans. And, you know, they exercise with us, practice with us. They
yeah.
help fine-tune things for us. They give us, you know, expert advice on things. And so, yeah, there's a ton of people that helps us to get to where we are.
I feel like, Bob, should we take a break real fast? Yeah, let's take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk to Sue Graves. We've got more to come. Thank you. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections on KCUP. Remember, this program is uploaded to the K-Cup website. You can download it later for your listening pleasure. So we appreciate that service that KCUP provides for us, for people to archive and stream these programs at a later date. Sue Graves, she's the Lincoln County School District Safety Coordinator. Sue, preparation really felt like in some debriefings on the tsunami that we had. You guys were very, very pulled together. No radios.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us were going, no radios. And you guys were totally there and had this distributed already to parents. So how did that come about? How did it come about that you were to get all these radios to families?
Yeah. Well, a few years ago, we wrote a grant. We wanted to find a way to train more people, to get more people to actually buy in to emergency preparedness, you know, because we have this risk. Not only do we have the risk of a large earthquake like they just had in Japan and mm-hmm. tsunami, but we have tons of other risks too. And so if you prepare for one of the worst ones, like the magnitude 9 earthquake and tsunami, it's going to make you prepared for all kinds of hazards. So we're trying to find a way to get our school district staff and parents to become, you know, prepared. Get an emergency kit. Get a NOAA alert radio for mm-hmm. your home. Make a plan. Where's the nearest high ground? So in this grant we wrote that if we would offer an emergency preparedness training, like a 1.5-hour training, and if people came to it, they would get a free NOAA alert radio. That was kind of, you know, the reward for coming. And so now they're learning how to be prepared, and they're getting an alert radio. It's kind of a good thing. Both, it's a win-win situation. So we bought over 200 NOAA alert radios, and they're in all of our schools. They're in just about 200 staff members' homes now. And so the neat thing, Casey, about a NOAA alert radio, it's not like just a weather radio. Weather radios are cool, but the alert radio has a really cool feature. It acts just like a smoke detector, not for smoke, but for other things. Like, you don't have to have this turned on. So if it's just plugged in the middle of the night, if there's a tsunami warning for our area, it's going to sound like a smoke alarm. Beep, 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 beep. It's going to wake you up. You're going to push the button, and it's going to tell you what the warning is. And so that's why I like the alert radio so much, because you don't have to have it on. We don't have the radio on all the time. Radio is awesome, but it's not on all night when I sleep. You don't have to have this one on for it to wake you up when there's a tsunami warning for our area.
You said that there's variable levels of programmability that you had looked at, lots of different radios, mm-hmm. to try to probably get the most flexible one for mm-hmm. people. What were you looking for when you were getting these radios?
We wanted to find one that gets the weekly test. NOAA puts out a weekly test mm-hmm. of the alert system. Not all of the alert radios receive that test.
Hmm.
So we found one that does receive that test. It's every Wednesday between 11 and 12. They run the test. And that way, if you have the one that has the test feature and it goes off and you hear the beep, 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 then you know, oh, I'm getting reception. My radio works. When we first got our radio in our home, and we put it right in the middle of our home so that people on one end of the house and people on the other end of the house would hear it and it goes off. It didn't get the weekly test. For some reason, there was not reception in that area. And so we moved it over toward a window, and then all of a sudden we got the weekly test. So we wouldn't have known. We could have had this NOAA alert radio and not even known that we weren't getting the signal if we didn't have the one with the weekly test feature. So there's a lot of different features. The one that we use is the Midland WR300. There's a lot of different models. But that one has the weekly test feature, and it has, you know, about 25 different hazards that you can turn on or off. If you want to be notified for thunder and lightning storms, you can say yes to that or say no to that. If you want to be notified for child abductions, amber alerts for floods, yes or no, tsunamis, yes or no. So you get to choose what you want the alerts for. And so we chose that radio. It also has a battery backup feature, so if your power goes off, it's still going to work. That was a really important feature to us.
God, how perfect.
Yeah, it works great.
This should be in every vacation rental.
It should. Absolutely.
In the tsunami zone.
Yeah. You know what? And some people complain that we don't have sirens everywhere, and that would be cool if we had sirens everywhere, but we don't. This is your own personal tsunami warning siren, and it costs $50. Some of them even cost $30, depending on which one you get. So for that amount of money, don't complain about sirens anymore. Just buy your own for your own home.
Yeah, where does the Midland typically clock in terms of retail costs?
This particular one, the 300, is around $55 or so. But you can get other models for $30, $35. They probably go way more expensive than that, too.
Right. You could probably get super techy if you wanted to spend the money, but that sounds like a reasonable cost, and compared to your safety, your family's safety.
Absolutely.
I mean,
just, you know what? The
peace
of mind is worth a ton, because I know I live in the tsunami zones, and I know when I go to bed at night, if there's a distant tsunami, you know, from an earthquake in Japan or Alaska or somewhere, I don't feel the earthquake. I know I'm going to get woken by that NOAA alert radio so that I can get to high ground in time. That's huge peace of mind.
Well, do you have other grant writing you're looking at in the future as far as earthquake and tsunami type preparation or...
We're just finishing up a grant right now, the one that I talked about where we made these 25 training videos and did a whole bunch of other stuff, too.
And are a lot of those going to be online as time unfolds? Or
some of them are online for the general public, but a lot of them are just internal for staff and for the school district. Yeah, because some of our procedures really aren't public. You know, when there's things, maybe for some of the violence things, weapons things, stuff that we don't really want the whole public to know, because there are some people that may not... use those wisely. But some of them are online for the public also.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But so this grant is just winding up at the end of this school year. One of the things I'm hoping to do next year is apply for grants to get more emergency supplies at our schools. We have some limited amount of emergency supplies at our schools in case we need to stay there for a long period of time. You know, if a big earthquake happens when we're in school, we might have children there for a couple weeks. You know, while parents are still trying to find their way there to get them, because roads are going to be impassable, bridges are going to be down. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I want to write some grants next year to get lots more emergency supplies at our schools, so that if we're sheltering there for a few weeks, we have food and water and other things that we need to take care of everybody.
Yeah, really what this tells me is that we don't need to stop. It's a continual process.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't reach a point where... you know, you're perfectly prepared. Even if you have everything you need, those things need to be changed sometimes updated. Exercising maybe would become part of our mindset.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we'll be able to respond quicker. And
yeah. About 5 years ago, we got a grant and we bought some huge water barrels. They're 55-gallon water barrels that we put in each of our four shelter schools, one in each area of the county. And we put, you know, several of these 55-gallon water barrels there full of water. So we'd have this emergency water in a big disaster like we're talking about. Well, the water purifier solution keeps the water clean for 5 years. So this year, we've been emptying them out, refilling them, putting new solution in. So, yeah, it's just things. There's always things you can do. And I'm so proud of the school district and its commitment to safety and all that we've done over the last 10 years. But we still have more to do, and we will continue to do more to be more prepared for emergencies.
Yeah, I printed up, you know, the general overview of all the aspects that, you know, safety is integrated into the school district. And I don't know what tab, how I arrived at that on the Lincoln County School District website, but really took it wide for me. You guys do a lot. It's pretty amazing, your commitment to the safety of the kids.
Thank you. You
know, your staff. It's very, very impressive. You had mentioned that you are receiving NOAA alerts via text on your phone, and I think since the mobile phone is the largest growing consumer device ever, that's another redundant option.
Yeah.
We're kind of saying, you know, use as many tools as you can.
Yep, it's great to have a lot of different ways to be notified. You're not always home. You're not always going to hear your NOAA alert radio go off because you may not be home. So I was telling you earlier, Casey, I was on a walk. I have a walking group that I go with in the morning, and we were walking. We live in the tsunami zone. We walk in the tsunami zone. I love where we live. It's awesome. It's great to be here. If you're prepared and you know what to do and you have a plan, live in the tsunami zone. It's beautiful here. But we were walking, and I carry my cell phone with me, and all of a sudden I got a text message, and it makes a little bleepy noise when you get a text message. So I look at it, and it said there's a tsunami watch for areas of along the Oregon coast, and it listed Lincoln County, and it listed the time. And so I showed it to my walking friends and said, hey, guys, look, there's a tsunami watch. We need to keep an eye on this. It's still just a watch. It's not a warning. So we kept and continued on our walk, but it was like, wow, this is so cool. I can even be out on a walk on the beautiful Oregon coast and find out that there's a tsunami watch for our area. And anyone can get those alerts through text messaging or through email. Just go to the NOAA website, and you can follow the links and find out how to do it. It's really easy. It's free.
Are you, in a general way, just reminding families, we've got 3 minutes left, but just preparation?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that the most important thing, thinking of a plan?
Yeah, it's just great to be prepared, because then you don't have to worry. You know, we know this earthquake is going to happen eventually, but you don't have to worry about it if you're prepared. You know, if you practice duck covering and holding, you know, figure out in your home, what can I get under? What's a sturdy piece of furniture I can get in under if I'm in the bedroom, if I'm in the living room or wherever? And then just practice it. Know where the nearest high ground is. Practice getting there. And have an emergency kit. You know, we keep them in the trunk of our car. and near our front door. And so we don't worry. You know, we love living here and we have a plan. And if there's an earthquake and we're home or wherever we are, we've got an emergency kit and we're going to get to high ground. So, yeah, I think it's just great to have a kit. Think about what you need in that kit, you know, in terms of water. You got to have water to survive. In our climate, shelter is really important. So even if it's just a rain poncho, you know, that kind of thing, some food bars, you know, protein bars, that kind of thing, are great to have.
Well, Sue, any last thoughts? It's been nice to have a program, and it just goes by so fast. Any last words,
famous last words. I just encourage everyone just to start making emergency kit. If you don't have one already, just start. Grab an old backpack or duffel bag or something. Grab a couple bottles of water next time you're at the store. Pick up a umbrella or a rain poncho and some protein bars and stick it in there. Have a starting point. Put a flashlight in there. It doesn't have to be like this huge, elaborate kit. Just start somewhere and then add things to it as you can.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, just start.
There you go.
You can
just get started.
Can do it.
Thanks, Sue, and I'm just impressed. 10 years as our school district safety coordinator. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And you do such a wonderful job. Thanks for coming on the program. Yes, Sue Graves. So remember, you can stream this program at a later date by going to KCUP and downloading it. We have 1 minute left, and coming up on the program, over the next couple of weeks, we are going to have Racy's Rats. Lisa Clark's going to come on and talk to us about ham radio. Are you?
I'm a ham radio operator also.
You're a ham.
That's
I
right.
Should have known. Well, she's going to bring everybody into the fold about
great
another wonderful thing that folks do, ham radio operation, which is really another continuity piece to the toolkit.
Yep.
So. All right, Sue, well, thank you. For more information about what's coming up on Lincoln County Connections, you can go to Lincoln County's website. For upcoming meetings, Board of Commissioner meetings, and all county activity, please visit the Lincoln County website, a great source of information, and we will see you soon. Thanks for listening.